This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. We are live here at Party in the Park in Litchfield, and we are enjoying the weather, David. It has cooled down here in the last hour or so.
It's fantastic compared to what it's been this week. Yeah, we had a lot of wind earlier on. We still got some wind right now, but it's not as bad as it was. Had some tents set up for the weather, and they're either taken down completely or lowered because nobody put stakes in them, because who expected the wind to be this bad? So
we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, as you said, the temperature has dropped dramatically, and it's a beautiful day for a basketball tournament.
Exactly right, and we have the president of the chamber right now with us, Jessica Vickery. And Jessica, well, you did a good job ordering the weather up here.
Great, yeah, we're having a great time. Last year, I tell you what, it was smoldering hot, and it was warm this morning we got here, and everybody's having a good time, and it's perfect.
It also looks like the decision to spread it out, like it was half the street last year, and
yes,
it's the whole street this year. That's worked
it's
out.
It's getting bigger, so we hope to just continue to grow year after year and to be able to just hopefully take over the whole street here, so that'd be great.
And it's really, there's a lot of fans that have shown up to take in this tournament today.
Yeah, we have a lot of great parents and friends that come and support, and they support us. A lot of them are volunteers, so we can't do it without them.
We talked about how the winds picked up and, well, some tents were getting blown around, and the stage over there,
yes,
it had a little incident.
Our stage, the backdrop blew over. It may be one of those things we just have to go without it this evening. It'll be okay.
The show will go on, as they say.
We just roll with it,
That's
yes.
Exactly right. So, Jessica, the 3-on-3 basketball tournament going on now. What else is happening today here at Party in the Park?
So we have bingo at the Moose from 11 to 8 today. We also have the Taste of Litchfield, all the vendor booths and the exhibitors open at noon. After that, we have a skateboard demo expo with Corey Hendrickson friends up here at the stage at 3 p.m. 4 to 6 is the spelling bee. All these kiddos work pretty hard for that. The carnival opens at 5, and the wristbands are $20 again. And then the Ronald McDonald Show will be tonight as well. And we also have the Littles and the Juniors pageant. We have something new today. We also have the Rampage Wrestling Ring set up, so that's going to be good for this year. They'll be here at 7 o'clock this evening. And then they were entertaining folks last night, too. It was a good time. And then we also have a new Battle of the Orbs, the soccer and jousting and boxing. So that'll be fun as well. That's new.
And I guess when you put it on an event like this year after year, the trick probably is to try to find something new to bring into it each year.
Yes, yes. That's the trick, is keeping up with the new fads and what everybody's wanting to see and do. And it's hard to make those changes without all the volunteers we have.
Where is the Rampage Wrestling event set up for tonight?
It's on Main Street, on State, right in front of Library Park. Okay. It's in the grass area.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
How have things been going so far? Pretty smooth?
Things have been great. Yesterday the weather was tough, but everybody came out and we had a great turnout. The band last night, Captain Geach, was amazing. We had a great turnout for the beer tent, so that was a good thing. Hoping that will continue for next year as well. But the weather today is making today even better.
Absolutely. And even, I mean, it's normally always scorching hot for
yes,
Party in the Park, but
yes,
you guys always have the cooling centers and different water stations
we
available.
We do. This year we actually were able to bring in a cooling tent for all the patrons and the participants that are, you know, going to be on stage. We also have a misting fan that's going, and we have the sprinklers on the corners, but as of now, we don't need any of them.
Don't need that right now. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Jessica, anything else you would like the folks to know about Party in the Park today?
Make sure you come out and support us, and support it's all for a good cause. It's a fundraiser. Make sure you join us for any events that we have, and check us out on the Chamber website.
All right, very good.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks. It's been great.
All right, Party in the Park rolling on here at Library Park in Litchfield. The temperatures are down. The winds are up, and the 3-on-3 basketball tournament is getting pretty competitive.
It is. It is. How long does that usually go, the tournament?
It starts at 8 a.m., and last year we finished about 1. We have 20 teams this year, which is good. So depending on how quickly they play and roll through it, but we even have a girls' team here that seems to be smoking around all these boys. So it's good time.
Jessica, tell us a little bit about the Chamber of Commerce and what the Chamber does for the businesses here in the city of Litchfield.
Yeah, the Chamber, you know, we've been putting on Party in the Park for 37 years. This is our 37th annual, and we help support all the businesses and what their needs are, and we try to help them with their marketing and just bring more business to town for them. Without supporting each other, we can't get by. So it's great. The fundraiser, this is our biggest fundraiser for the Chamber, year after year, and we do extra activities as well. But without the support of our members and the different activities that we put on, you know, it makes it tough.
And there's been a lot of new businesses come into town in the last year and a half.
Yes, we've gotten a lot of several new members. We even have more coming, and we even have members from out of town. So that's fantastic, too.
Is that a surprise to you when you get members to the Litchfield Chamber that are not in Litchfield?
Yes and no. Yes and no. We have just businesses that kind of market or a territory here in the area, and they like to have their name in, and they like to support, and they like to be involved. So that just helps us out, and we're more than accepting to have them.
Come one, come all, right?
That's right. Correct. Yes.
Jessica, thank you so much for a few minutes here this morning on Sports Saturday. We need to get to a break. We'll come back to the party in the park in Litchfield following these messages on WSMI.
Thank you very much, Levi Ubelt, and welcome to Party in the Park in downtown Litchfield. We are broadcasting from Library Park on the Veterans Memorial side of things, where the 3-on-3 basketball tournament is underway, and a good crowd, as you heard Jessica Vickery tell us that this has been one of the more popular events, and they're probably going to expand it as time goes on. And you know, we've had a lot of kids involved in a lot of different camps and everything, but they always seem to turn out for 3-on-3 basketball. Isn't it funny?
There's something about 3-on-3 basketball. We were at the Tacoma's homecoming just a couple of weeks ago. They had that one inside, which is awesome. But I was telling you before we went on the air, this setup, it reminds me of when I was a kid going down to St. Louis and playing in Hoop It Up. Yeah. There's something about 3-on-3 basketball on the city street where you got the elements. You know, the wind is picked up here. So that earlier, a guy took a shot for about 15 feet, a gust of wind came, and the ball wound up 10 feet short.
You know, and I remember playing, you know, basketball in the backyard or in the neighbor's backyard and stuff. And at that time, it was on dirt. There was no pavement or anything. So, yeah, it's kind of a throwback to a different era. And you know, you didn't need five guys on five guys. If you had 2-on-2, 1-on-1, 2-on-3, whatever, you know, you played basketball. So.
Well, and last year was the first year they had it back because there had been a break where they hadn't had the tournament. And then having it back last year really seemed to, you know, boost a lot of the excitement. You have a bunch of people turn out to register to play. Obviously, the same amount, if not more, people signed up this year. So,
but that's the beauty of the chamber. It is the beauty of basketball too, though. Like, you know, football, you can't really play catch with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, baseball, you can't play catch with yourself. But in basketball, you can get a ball, you can go out and you can shoot.
Yeah, you can shoot free throws. You can practice, you know, all sorts. The fun thing about basketball in the summertime and on the playground and with your friends is the fact you can do these goofy moves, okay, and have a little fun with it. And every once in a while, you know, you'll get the opportunity if you stick with the game and you end up, you know, playing some varsity basketball. Once in a while, you get a chance to make one of those kind of goofy moves, and everybody puts a smile on their face, you know, and that's a lot of fun.
So. I'm sure we got some of the people living in the apartment complexes around here who just, you know, they had nothing to do this morning, so they came down and have decided to sit on the porch and watch some basketball.
There is a good crowd of people here that have gathered to watch this 3-on-3 tournament.
Yeah.
And the interesting is we've had this breeze come through which has dropped the temperature probably 20 degrees. Humidity has dropped dramatically, but we're kind of on this boundary line, I guess, with this frontal system or whatever they call it, and it, you know, it could move back further north, which would mean that we'd be inundated with sunshine and humidity again, or it may just kind of sit where it is and keep things kind of cloudy and rather pleasant actually right now. A little breezy.
No one's complaining.
No, nobody's complaining right now. That's for darn sure. You know, it could get very, very hot on that asphalt with the sun beating down, so.
Well, I mean, let's just be honest. It wouldn't have been much fun up here yesterday.
No,
let's be honest.
No, it was, you know, last night after the sun goes down and everything and with the entertainment in the beer tent and everything, probably had a pretty good night of activities. But, you know, when you have that sweltering heat, it just makes it difficult. And traditionally, the party in the park is kind of right around that time every year. You know, it's just part of party in the park.
Now, you mentioned the beer tent, and earlier Jessica mentioned they have the spelling bee.
Yeah.
Tonight. I think a great new event would be a spelling bee for the adults in the beer tent after 3 or 4 hours of serving. I think that's entertaining.
Yeah. Well, I think you have to set a lot of parameters on what kind of words you could spell.
The easier, the better.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking while you were talking to Jessica, I'm going, spelling contest, okay? Well, for radio guys, it's all phonetically.
Yes.
So we don't care how we spell, as long as it sounds right, you know. And I thought, well, that's probably not a very good idea. So
years ago, I was at the Jersey County Fair, and I was talking to one of the young queen contestants, and I was writing down her name, but I was writing it out phonetically, and her mom was saying this. She goes, that's not how it's spelled. I said, I know, but that's how it's pronounced.
How it's
She's like, oh, okay.
By the way, the Litchfield Party in the Park continues all day long. The exhibitor booths open at noontime. Food trailers open at noon as well. One thing that they've got, a skateboard demonstration, and if you've never seen a skateboarder up close and personal, so to speak, they're pretty amazing. Some of the stuff that they do kind of scares you.
It's impressive.
I mean, it really is. It really is. And that's set for 3 o'clock, and then Corey Hendricks is going to be doing that.
And so, you have to think about skateboarding is you have to be prepared to bust your face to do a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, you do. And you've done that several times.
Most likely.
In order to become proficient at it. And, of course, Carnival opens up at 5 o'clock. They've got $20 wristbands for the kids. Ronald McDonald Magic Show at 6 tonight, and the Party in the Park, Little Miss Party in the Park pageant, followed by the Junior Miss Chamber pageant, and that'll be on stage. Whether or not they have the backdrop, that's a whole other story, but we don't care.
And I think if
the show will go on, as you mentioned.
I think the Battle Orbs opens at noon as well, the new thing they've got.
Do you know anything about these Battle Orbs? Can you explain this to me?
I believe if it's what I think it is, and I'm pretty sure it is, about 90% sure it is, it's you basically put on this bubble, and you participate in either jousting or soccer or laser tag is another thing they've got, and there was one more. I don't remember what it is.
So you're basically inside this inflated
bubble,
and you're able to...
Which wouldn't have been good on a day like yesterday, today...
Yeah.
Well, this is an air-conditioned bubble?
Although the wind might play a factor, too.
If you're inside
the bubble,
you're going to be downwind.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you're going from one side or the other, but go with the wind,
We've got a bubble rolling down State Street.
Well, and maybe not next to 16, maybe put it on the other side, so you're not blowing into the traffic.
Yeah, well, that's certainly a unique type of activity here.
But those are the types of activities, though, that make summer events like this stand out. It's not just traditional things, which they have, which everyone enjoys. But when you can get some of those different type of events that you just don't really see all that often, it really gets people excited.
Well, and in every event, and virtually every town has their own little get-together of some sort in the summertime, and this is unique to Litchfield, and they try some different things from time to time, as most celebrations do. So, and it's only a two-day event, so they do it on a Friday and a Saturday, and then they're all done. And the chamber does an awful lot for the businesses here in the community, and hats off to them, because they're heavily involved in trying to promote the community, promote new business growth, and increase the traffic into the businesses. And as you talk to Don Piesold all the time about chamber activities, David, they're always involved in something.
Yeah, I asked her if she would be here this morning. She said probably not, because she was going to be here until about midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning last night.
Just till midnight or 1?
Well, maybe later.
Yeah. Okay.
She'll be here sooner than later.
She'll be here. She'll be here. So
I think she said the same thing last year, too, and she was here pretty early.
Absolutely. And, of course, these chambers, they're so maybe more important now than 10 or 15, even 20 years ago, just because, small-town America is struggling in a lot of respects to bring business in, to keep population centers up. So when you have organizations like the Litchfield Chamber of Commerce that are so involved across the spectrum, it just really helps out.
And, we failed to mention, I think, the last week or two, but Nancy's Pizza, one of our new sponsors here on Sports Center, they moved to town. So, there's been businesses move into town, new businesses move into town. So the Litchfield Chamber is doing its thing to try to keep Litchfield viable.
Litchfield never had a shortage of places to eat, but they have added some really good places in the last year.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. It'll work.
Not too shabby.
Well, obviously, with Nancy's having local ties to the ownership, with the McGraw family as well.
McGraw family, talked with Krista a week or so ago, and
they've been important to this community as well.
Sure they have. They certainly have. They've been very benevolent with donations and helping out with various aspects of athletics, and of course that's an athletic family. Sports Saturday rolls on here on from the Litchfield Party in the Park, and
suddenly breezy party in the park.
Well, and that's the thing, when I pulled up to start setting up, it was sunny and it was getting to the point where you could start to feel the humidity start to climb just a little bit, and it was a little sticky. And then all of a sudden, once we got get the table put up and get the equipment put down. Then all of a sudden this wind comes in and we see some, you know, a lot of cloud cover right now, and the wind's still pretty breezy right now, but it's very, very comfortable here at Park.
Feels nice.
Sure, a far cry from what it was last year or yesterday.
And I think, you know, most people, this has been the perfect example in Illinois. If you don't like the weather, wait 15 minutes.
No,
it was 100 degrees and humid, you know, an hour and a half ago, and then 20 minutes after that, here we are.
And if we could figure out a way to pull some of this rain south, I mean, there's a lot of rain in the northern half of the state, and if we could, get it south of 72 and keep it moving south, that would be wonderful. But we've not figured out a way to do that yet. So
when they do, though, that'll be a very popular adventure.
Somebody's going to be very, very rich.
That might be $1 billion idea if they figure that one out.
That could be a quadrillion-dollar idea if they ever figure that out. So we, of course, are just under 5 weeks away from high school football, high school football season beginning, Football Friday. Prior to that, a couple weeks, of course, we'll be having some of the volleyball and soccer and cross country and some of the other fall sports getting underway. So we're rapidly approaching a time where high school sports will be kicking in big time again. And, of course, we'll have our full complement of high school football coming up.
Well, I mean, my goodness, school will be back in session in less than a month.
It's about four weeks away. So, school will be back in session. And, most of the schools now are, start about midway through August so they can wrap up the first semester by the time the Christmas, holiday break comes along. And, of course, in down the line here, yet in a week or so, we've got Old Settlers coming up, which kind of, basically tells us that summer's about ready to shut down and we're ready to get back to school. So it's funny how fast the summer has zipped right along.
Absolutely. And for the football teams, they're just now, going to start getting primed, getting ready for the official workouts and practices.
Yeah, and, a lot of optimism out there for a lot of football teams. I think, we talk about spring training in baseball where everybody's optimistic and is looking for their shot to move on, and high school football teams probably pretty much the same way. But I think we're going to see some interesting matchups in this. When we talk South Central here, Carlos, they're going to be very good. The Sangamo is loaded as always.
Yep.
It's just a matter of can they stay healthy? And
North Mac's going to have a new head football coach.
Right, head football coach.
As we sit here at Party in the Park in Litchfield, of course, Litchfield will have a new football coach.
Tom Priddle, as we had him on the sports show a few weeks ago.
And I will be interested to see how Litchfield's season goes, because Pat Rentz had a good run. He stepped away, and last year, it was a dumpster fire. From the word go, it was just messed up. Everything was off last year. Will Tom be able to kind of channel what Pat had brought to the program and get it back moving in that direction?
You tend to think, just after having on the sports show and conversing with him, you tend to think that's probably what's going to happen. Just sitting there with him, talking with him, he seemed to be, realistic but confident. And knew he had a task, knows he has a task ahead of him, but, sometimes you have to take baby steps. And I think, we talk so much on this sports show about stability in a program. And, Litchfield just really hasn't had it in their football program.
It'll be interesting to see the numbers for his program this year, because he got started so late.
He
got started after the year was over. I think late in June is when he got hired. And
the sprinkler system is on.
It is. How about that?
Oh,
sure.
Sure, we'll talk. Yeah, we can talk to players. We can talk to...
They had a cool-down station set up, and I'm sure they still do somewhere, but I really don't think they're needing it right now.
I think the school cool-down station will be just a block over.
That's not necessary right now.
With the fan and the mister and everything like that, and that'll be...
Got a little mist coming on us right now.
Yeah, we do. Well, it's What, you've never played basketball in the rain? Of course we have.
We play golf in the rain.
We play just about everything there.
Remember playing golf in a thunderstorm, kind of like Caddyshack style one day, and I,
frogs coming out of the hole.
Well, not quite that bad, but I got the heck off the course. Well, the people we were with were still playing because there was money on the line, and I'm going, not enough money involved to stay out here. That's for darn sure. So,
well, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well,
if there's money on the line, I'm not kidding.
Yeah, well, put it this way: as poor as a golfer that I was.
Okay, so you had no chance to win the money.
I had
okay.
No. Okay. There's absolutely no way I was. You know, I was on the. If you go from class A to from AAA to class A, I was class D. Okay. Okay. Well, let's see. Come on over here. We got a player here. All right. So introduce yourself. What's your name, young man?
My name's Tori.
Tori, do you even have a last name?
Last name's Kistner.
Ah, okay, Tori Kistner. So Tori, where are you from?
I'm from Springfield, Illinois.
Okay, so you've come all the way to Litchfield to play in the 3-on-3 tournament.
Yep.
What's the name of your team?
Vipers.
The Vipers, all right.
Is this your first time playing in Litchfield?
Yes.
All right. So what age group are you in?
12.
12-year-old. All right. So you've been playing basketball for a while with your buddies, have you?
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Do a lot of 3-on-3 tournament stuff?
This is actually my first 3-on-3.
Really? Okay. Okay. So are you involved in some sort of a league? In Springfield, obviously, there's some opportunities where you can get involved in league play.
Yeah, I go to the gym a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Nothing formal, though. No formal league set up.
Well, I actually play for the Chatham Titans.
Oh, okay.
Ah, okay. Okay. All right. So, you're an athlete. You like sports beyond basketball, other sports beyond basketball?
I play football and soccer.
All right. So, do you have a favorite in there?
No. All my favorite.
That's good. That's good. But, you know, whatever season happens to be in, right? You know, and we hear coaches tell us all the time, and some very, very good coaches, that the more different sports you play, the better athlete you become, and a lot of coaches have told us that, you know, the more you learn something from each sport to make you better in the other sports. So,
yeah.
So what's the key to coming to Litchfield and participating and being successful here in a 3-on-3 tournament? What's the inside scoop here if you're trying to teach me how to be a good 3-on-3 basketball player?
Well, number one, you got to be a good sportsmanship. That's the first way you should start.
So you shake hands before and after the games and stuff like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Win or lose.
Okay. And you realize that this is basically a learning situation, correct?
Yes.
So as you got your other buddies here. Do you know who they are? Can you name their names?
Wyatt Kistner, which is my cousin, and Kavon. I don't know his last name.
Okay.
It's one of my cousin's friends.
Are you all from the Springfield area?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this is just a short trip to Litchfield here, party in the park. So,
yeah.
and this is your first 3-on-3. So what do you think about playing outside here in this wind? Pretty wacky, isn't it?
Yeah. It's hard to shoot, but you have to go up for layups.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You ever played in weather like this before?
Especially in football, but not in basketball.
Yeah.
So what grade are you going to be in this fall?
Sixth
grade. So is there an organized type league for kids your age for basketball?
Like a time?
Are you part of a junior high program, or is that not till seventh grade?
That's not until seventh grade, but okay. I do play for a competitive team.
You do play for a competitive, okay. And does that take you a lot of different places around the Midwest?
We travel a lot. We've been to St. Louis, Peoria.
So where do you find the toughest competition?
Like what team?
Yeah, we're you know, when you go, what city? What city finds it, do you find the toughest competition?
Peoria.
Peoria. Well, that's good for Illinois basketball, you know.
Yeah.
We like it when Peoria's good. Yeah. What's the difference between Peoria basketball and, say, basketball in St. Louis? Any difference you notice?
Well, I don't think there's any team difference. They all have good sportsmanship.
Okay.
But it was definitely fun traveling because this was my first year traveling.
Yeah. So who brought you down here, Mom and Dad?
Just my dad and then my grandpa.
Okay. Is grandpa a big sports fan?
Yes.
He probably likes all sports, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's probably into football and basketball. Does he watch baseball at all?
Yes. He's a big baseball fan, actually.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you know any of the kids you're playing against down here, or is it all strangers?
All strangers.
Well, you know, strange things happen that when you you play in these sorts of leagues and these sorts of tournaments, and it may take several years, but somewhere down the line you may run into some of these guys again one of these days, you know? That would be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Well, nice to meet you, my friend. Good luck to you. Hope you have a good time here at Litchfield Party in the Park, and hopefully the wind will stay down. But the temperature too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's
I
like about it.
Yeah. I don't know if we can get both of them to calm down at the same time. But
when no heat, rain, too cold,
yeah.
No shot.
But it never stops you. You played basketball in the rain before, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Pouring down rain. That's always fun. So back in our days before they actually had paved courts, we played in the mud. Yeah, that was always fun. So, hey, good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us here on Sports Saturday. That's one of the players participating here in the 3-on-3 basketball tournament, young man from the capital city. And,
very well spoken.
Very well spoken. And you know, the first thing out of his mouth was good sportsmanship.
There you go. How about that, huh?
You know, that's terrific. It's terrific to hear that these a lot of these young people and you know, when you go in with the attitude, let's have some fun and let's be good sports about it, work your butt off, but, you know, there's more to it than just the game itself. So.
No, absolutely. I mean, everybody wants to win. That's kind of the point of putting yourself through all the workouts and all the practices and all that. But, yeah, at the end of the day, if you're not winning or losing with class, you're losing.
Tell you what, we're broadcasting from the Litchfield Party in the Park as the sprinkles come down. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue with our live coverage from the 3-on-3 basketball tournament at the Party in the Park right after these messages. Thank you very much, Levi, and good morning again from the Litchfield Party in the Park as Library Park and the surrounding blocks around Library Park have been closed down. Of course, we've got the rides, which will be fired up later on this afternoon. Food booths will begin about noontime. It's a typical summertime-type celebration. We're at the Party in the Park on the east side of the Library Park where the 3-on-3 basketball tournament is going on. And we had a lot of wind. We had some cloud cover. We've had a few sprinkles here in the most recent moments. But the activities are underway, full-blown activities. And later on today, the Taste of Litchfield opens up at the noontime. Skateboard demonstration at 3 o'clock this afternoon. That'll be right in front, I believe, of the stage area. And then there'll be a spelling bee beginning at 4. Carnival opens at 5 with $20 wristbands. Ronald McDonald Magic Show at 6. And the pageants tonight begin at 7 o'clock on the stage. And I think they've lost their backdrop.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the backdrop is gone, but the stage is still there.
The stage is still
there.
That's good. The stage is still there,
yeah.
And that's a very good thing.
And they do also have the wrestling event.
Rampage Wrestling, yes.
That was a late addition that wasn't added to the schedule.
And the Battle Bots or whatever you call
Battle Orbs.
Battle Orbs, not the Battle Bots.
Battle Bots would be something cool, but it would be something completely different.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd need a whole different area for that, wouldn't we? Yeah, okay.
But nice
the Battle Orbs.
Indoor facility,
yeah.
Bunch of people with engineering degrees
and everything. Yeah, well, you know, we probably don't want to go that far yet on Litchfield.
We could open up to the Carlinville people, maybe Darren Deneath can get out here.
Hey, there you go. There you go, you know. There you go. Now, you see, now not only a spelling kind of, but you could have a super math kind.
There we go.
Right, yeah.
There we go.
There you go, you know. That would be tough to do.
It could be done, though.
Yes, as long as you have a calculator.
You're going to have that.
The stuff in the head, man, it's been a long time.
Darren won't need a calculator.
No. So, but anyway, the Party in the Park continues today. We hope that you come by and enjoy it and thank all the people that are participating. If you see a member of the Litchfield Chamber of Commerce, thank them because, you know, this is their baby. They put all this together and they went out and got some major sponsors to help sponsor certain aspects of the event today. So.
And if you wanted to come out yesterday but just didn't because it was too hot and were thinking today it was going to be the same, hey, It has changed.
It has.
The weather has changed. It is a beautiful day right now.
Granted, 4 hours from now it may be completely different, but right now it is a very pleasant day. Just still a very few sprinkles right now, but the cloud cover has certainly cooled things down. The breeze has cooled things down, and it's a pretty nice day here at the Litchfield Party in the Park. Well, the Cardinals.
That was interesting yesterday.
That was...
It's two games, pretty much.
Well, yeah, a tale of, well, you have two stories about the Cardinals. You've got the trade stories, story, and then you've got the game story. And the game story means basically they'll score no runs for the next four games, probably, because they had an 8 or 9 run eighth inning.
Well, that game kind of summed up their entire season yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
8 innings, they did nothing offensively. Yeah. 1 inning, they score 9 runs. Mm-hmm. They had an error that cost them a run.
Yeah.
They had some terrible base running that cost them.
Didn't have a smooth 9th inning.
No.
To close out the game.
No. But, I mean, it's kind of what they are. I mean, they are they have a lot of warts.
Yeah.
Very flawed baseball team.
Well, and poor Martinez, as well as he pitched, he again doesn't factor in the decision, and he didn't get any run support because he never does.
You know, and Lance Lynn has pitched well.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Martinez has pitched well. Adam Wainwright has pitched pretty well.
Pitched good enough.
Pitched well since he had three-start stretch or whatever it was.
You know, and so it's other aspects of the game that have basically frustrated the Cardinals.
It's fundamentals.
Yeah.
Like the game they lost, the fourth game in New York that they lost, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
You can't lose a game because your pitcher doesn't cover first base in the last. You can't have it, but you shouldn't have it.
Yeah.
But the point is, it should be unacceptable.
Right.
And to this point, it has not been unacceptable.
Didn't
the players have not been held accountable for these types of mistakes, and as a result, they continue to make the same type of mistakes.
Well, you know, and the thing of it is, you go all the way back to spring training. This is one of the first things they work on when you know, pitchers covering first base on any infield ball hit to the right side.
If you just remove the Cardinals from it, if you just think from a broad athletic perspective, when you hear the types of things that have been coming out of the Cardinals camp, they're making the same mistakes, not just this year, last year too. So this is 2 years now where the same things have been going on. The manager continues to say, well, we're working on this and that and this. Okay, so you admit that you're working on it. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
So then to me the question is, well, if you're continuing to work on it and you continue to preach it, but the same mistakes are made, does that not mean that the players have tuned you out and that your message has become stale?
Yeah.
That's what it means to me.
Yeah.
And remember when La Russa walked away, he said that.
Yeah, it was time
to go. Time for a new voice. And it is interesting that his voice was good for 20 years.
Yeah.
And this guy's voice is good for about two.
His comments were alarming after that loss because he basically, just to paraphrase and sum it all up, he said, "We're gonna continue working on it, but there's nothing we need to change drastically." In order to get better, and the way that we approach. So,
I mean, the way the Cardinals have played the last 2 years, it's just not acceptable.
No,
yeah.
Their minor league teams are playing better than they are.
Exactly.
I mean,
that brings up another point about the major league staff. If these problems aren't happening in the minor leagues, if they're not happening there, and it's proven and reported that they're not, if all this happens at the big league level, you can't just say, well, the players need to perform better. Maybe they need to be put in positions to succeed, which this manager has never done. You can go back to Colton Wong playing the outfield at Wrigley Field last year, putting Matt Adams in left field this year. Last year, batting Brandon Moss cleanup when he's 0-for-90.
Yeah.
This guy just does not put players in position to succeed.
One thing that I think that the Cardinals are suffering from right now is the guy who can be the leader in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. They don't have it.
They don't have it. You know, La Russa was always the leader. He was always the captain of the ship. You knew it. But there was always somebody in the clubhouse that would, you know.
They need the Chris Carpenter to get in your face.
Yeah, they need a Chris Carpenter type person to get in people's face.
And remember, a couple years ago, they had these problems. What'd they do? They went out and got John Lackey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even when they got A.J. Przinsky a few years ago, Przinsky was a guy that would get in people's face because Przinsky held back nothing.
Right.
I mean, this guy just would lay into you because you were dogging it.
Mazalak went out and got Przinsky and Lackey the same season because they needed a clubhouse shakeup.
Yeah.
And Matheny said, you know, it was like breaking apart a family, and it completely changed the family atmosphere that he'd worked so hard to build up. And you know, the same thing.
And it is a long season, and sometimes you do have to have a little butt chewing along the way to help you refocus, I guess, for lack of a better term. These are and Cardinal fans, granted, have been spoiled for a long time.
Yeah,
the team with the DeWitt family has enjoyed a lot of success. And it's tough to see teams like this perform, but it also is frustrating to know that the Cardinals have basically stood pat in the last two or three years and done not much of anything to try to change the situation or change the personnel.
Well, they're making the same mistakes. That's the frustrating thing.
That's the frustrating thing.
You know, the Cardinals are a great historic organization.
Yeah.
But they don't win every year.
No.
They're not great every year.
No team
does.
But
before the current manager showed up, what they did do every year was compete hard and not beat themselves. That was always the thing about the Cardinals. You had to beat them.
Yeah.
They weren't going to give you the game. Well, now they just give you the game. Take it. We don't want it. We don't need 27 outs. We'll play with 24 outs. We'll use, have two or three guys we will never use on the bench. So you play with a short bench. It baffles my mind.
And the one thing that frustrates just is unbelievable. The defensive effort and the fact that, you know, double play balls turn out to be, you know, maybe a force out if they're lucky. Balls, you know, they don't throw to the right base. There's just little things like that, the fundamentals that will help you win ball games. We just don't see.
And have you noticed that the best Cardinals' best performers offensively are the guys that Matheny doesn't like?
Isn't that weird?
Tommy Pham, Colton Wong.
Huh.
I mean, Tommy Pham's having a heck of a season for a guy who didn't play for April and May.
Well, wouldn't you have to say Tommy Pham is about the best ball player the Cardinals have right now?
Yeah, absolutely is. He's got 14 home runs in basically 2 months and 13 stolen bases, and he's hitting near 300.
Here's a guy that's been in the minor leagues for a long time. He has his chance to play in the major leagues. He wants to stay,
He
acts like he wants to stay, and he's doing everything he can possibly do to tell management, hey, I belong here. And, you know, that's we don't see that from other members of the staff.
No. So. And, you know, it's a small thing. It doesn't really mean anything, but in a lot of ways it kind of tells you all you need to know about the Cardinals coaching staff and how ill-equipped they actually are. Yesterday in that big monster inning, the first base coach for the Cardinals, Ali Marmol, actually armbarred Carson Kelly at first base because Grichuk was tagging up at first and Kelly was watching the outfield and they were going to pass each other. Marmol actually steps out, sticks his arm out, and blocks Kelly from going. Thankfully, the umpires had rotated around so no one saw it. You can't do that.
No, you can't.
And for a major league first base coach to instinctually do that, that tells you a lot about the type of staff that they have.
Can you do that at any level?
No.
No.
Okay.
No, you can't do that.
No, you cannot impede or stop the base runners.
And what you do is you get, you know, as close to the chalk line as you possibly can, and you stand there and scream in front of somebody's face and say, stop right now, and not do that sort of stuff, because had the umpires saw that,
he's out.
Yeah, he's out. I mean, for passing a runner. You can't do that, man.
There's a fun stat for you. From 2008 to 2016, the Cardinals had spent, I believe, 36 days under 500. They're at 72 this year.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That's combined, by the way. About 36 days.
And you know what? There were a couple times they got close to the 500 mark, got within a game or two, and just never could get to the 500 mark. And that's not like Cardinal baseball. We're just not used to that sort of situation with the Cardinals. And you know, here's a team, they go into New York, a team that's, you know, injured, a team that they, quite frankly, could have won all four games in New York. Should have won all four games in New York.
Should have won all three games in Pittsburgh.
Should have won all three games in Pittsburgh. And they just couldn't put it together.
For years, Cardinals found ways to win.
Yeah.
They seemingly find ways to lose now.
It seems like the coin has flipped over now. So we need to get to another break. We're broadcasting from the Litchfield Party in the Park. We would love for you to come out and enjoy all the activities going on today and tonight here in beautiful downtown Litchfield around Library Park and on State Street. And there'll be all sorts of activities going on. Of course, the pageants are later on this evening. The food booths will be opening up. You've got $20 wristbands for the rides later on this afternoon. We'll come back with more from Sports Saturday at the Litchfield Party in the Park right after these messages.
All right, and now let's head back to Party in the Park in downtown Litchfield for more Sports Saturday.
Thank you very much, Levi Ubell, as we come to you from Library Park in Litchfield for the Party in the Park, and we appreciate all the folks who have turned out for the 3-on-3 basketball tournament here this morning, and the weather's turned out a lot nicer. The wind has calmed down at least a little bit. Rain has eased up, although if you're a farmer, you could use some rain. And
We would like the rain.
We would like to see some rain. And you know, if the Party in the Park can produce a little rain for us, that's okay. Things are going along very well, and we hope that you get a chance to come out and enjoy the Litchfield Chamber of Commerce Party in the Park here at the downtown Litchfield. We were talking about the Cardinals and the Cardinals trade yesterday.
Yep.
Let's talk about that, Dave.
They made a move. They traded a former first-round pick, Marco Gonzalez, to the Seattle Mariners for Mariners' number 2 overall prospect, based on a consensus.
Yeah.
He's about the 30th to 60th best prospect of baseball, depending on who you ask. He was consistently around 30th, and then he got moved to 75 yesterday, so I don't know who moved that. But anyway, he's a pretty good prospect, got very good power, hit 32 home runs a couple of years ago, and I think got 24 last year. He's up to 19 this year, 5 in his last 5 games. He's going to strike out a lot, but he also he can hit. He can hit for average, 290. He's got power, obviously. It sounds like this is going to be a lead-up to another move they're going to make. Whether he's involved in that trade or somebody on the major league roster is involved in that trade or somebody in the minor league, who knows? They have a ton of outfielders right now from the major league all the way down to double A. I mean, they've got a ton of outfielders, and it's amazing.
Well, it was a great move for the Cardinals to be able to get a highly rated prospect like that for a guy in Marco Gonzalez who has done nothing at the big league level. He's already had arm problems. And you're able, I don't know what's wrong with Jerry DePoto. I have no idea. You give Albert all the money. You give Hamilton all the money. You give CJ Wilson all the money in LA. They fire you for that. You go to Seattle, and then you promptly trade one of your top prospects for, Marco Gonzalez is not a bum. That would not be fair.
Right.
But he has not shown that he's going to be any sort of serviceable major league pitcher.
He's unproven at the major league level.
Major league starter. Yeah. We still don't know if he can be, because I was ready for him to be called up as part of the bullpen with as much struggles as I think he could be a pretty valuable junk ball bullpen pitcher, especially from the left side.
Well, that may be. Is that worth the number 2 prospect in your organization?
No, it's not.
Baseball.
That's what I just don't understand that.
Baseball, though, has been littered over the years with these seemingly bizarre trades. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they backfire. A lot of times they don't. But John Mozeliak has had his fair share of basically, I don't want to say fleecing, but he has certainly had his fair share of picking, finding good people, taking advantage of the situation.
He doesn't, to me, about one of the few times where he wound up on the bad end of a trade was the Hayward-Shelby Miller trade, but that was forced. That was extenuating circumstances. He had to make that deal.
Well,
when he goes in with a plan, he usually comes out on the right end.
And really, early on, Khalil Green,
That was
a situation where, you know, it was just a bad situation all around. But since then, really, he's done a pretty decent job. And the thing of it is, it's so easy to sit here and criticize and spend other people's money. But you just, and I'm with you, Dave, it kind of feels like, okay, this is a setup, a prelude to something else that's coming along.
Yeah, whether he's going to be involved in the trade or someone else is yet to be seen, but the consensus around major league analysts and writers, they're not done making moves, and it's probably going to happen at the deadline. And they've been linked to Giancarlo Stanton. Obviously, the Marlins came out and said, you know, we're not going to trade any of our 3 outfielders until the offseason.
Yeah.
Well, there's also
for the right price,
right,
that can be
there, there's also reports that different Marlins executives are telling people different things. So
shocking.
They are kind of
like the White House, huh?
Right. Yeah, there you go. You know, the great thing about Mozeliak, though, is he doesn't, when he makes a trade, he has bad trades, but his bad trades don't usually involve giving away his top prospects.
Right.
You know, if he's willing to put in top prospects, you're getting a quality player coming back the other way.
And the one thing that the Cardinals have really missed in the middle of their lineup is somebody that's scary.
Yeah.
A Jack Clark type person, a Matt Holliday when Matt Holliday was healthy. Somebody that could scare the daylights out of a pitcher because he had the threat of hitting the ball, you know, 25 rows into the stands. So, Cardinals just don't have that.
It's funny you mention that. I think, the Holliday trade was the time that he gave up his highest rated prospect in Brett Wallace.
Yep.
I think.
Yeah.
And it worked out. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely it did. But I think Wallace was the highest rated prospect Mozeliak has ever traded.
And you know, the thing of it is, if you're a Matt Holliday fan, and I am, and yes, Matt Holliday had his shortcomings as a left fielder, but you know, Matt Holliday was paid to hit the ball.
Yes, he was.
He hit the ball.
Yes, he did.
He's still hitting the ball for the Yankees, well, and he's doing a pretty doggone good job, and it's good to see Matt Holliday have some success.
And at the time, you know, the Cardinals were accused of bidding against themselves when re-signing him, mm-hmm. and people thought they had overpaid for him. Well, he ends up having the career he has with the Cardinals, and it became probably one of the biggest bargains in baseball.
Well, because that technically, you know, you talk about free agent big contracts. That's about one of the best ones in the history of baseball, because a lot of times when those guys sign the deals, it's for what they did, and they don't wind up doing that during the duration of the actual contract. Holliday delivered during his contract.
And the thing about Matt Holliday that he always liked was the fact that he had a kind of a football mentality about him. You know, he was a football player and in his younger days, and you had that football, that tough kind of football mentality about him. And you know, it's just not there. It just isn't there.
Like when he blew up Marco Scudero in that playoff game at second base.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah. You know, that sometimes stuff like that needs to happen, and you know, we're not promoting violence in sports.
Oh, no.
We're not promoting.
Oh no.
But you know, a hard
it's grit.
It's grit, and it's a determination to win, and he was not necessarily vocal, but he led by example, and you know, I'm sure he had his fair share of times where he probably sat down with a player and just started talking to one of the younger players and was trying to, you know, explain some things to him about how to play Major League Baseball at the right way. So.
And you never really know what the fabric of a club is unless you're around them every day and in the clubhouse when the cameras are off and the microphones are gone and all this and all that. But the Cardinals, they just don't seem to have that fire, like that spark. Like they don't seem to play angry, like it's all right, fellas. We'll get him tomorrow.
The chip on the shoulder.
Yeah, what happened to it?
Yeah, you know, for years, and La Russa was great about this. You know, he always had a chip on his shoulder. They don't respect us. Oh, you know, and that's how the Cardinals would play, with a chip on their shoulder.
Look at the way Molina, and I know these games don't mean anything, but look at the way Molina plays in the World Baseball Classic and the All-Star Game compared to the way he plays for the Cardinals every day.
That's interesting.
I mean, he's having fun. I mean, I know those games are pretty much for fun. I mean, you could say the World Baseball Classic counts, but it's more so for fun. But, I mean, he's out there with so much energy and so much fire, and it's a completely different Yachty than we see with the Cardinals. And it's kind of, you know, that's goes back to the way and the style that Matheny has grown up coaching. I mean, he doesn't like to show a lot of emotion. He doesn't like a lot of show of emotion. He's tried to kill that in a lot of his players, to a fault.
He's tried. Every athlete is different. I mean, my goodness, you can't coach everybody the same, whether it's Little League or high school or pro ball. But it does seem that Matheny and then Mabry as a hitting coach, they try to fit most of their players into one defined box. Like, you need to hit this way.
Yeah.
You need to play this way. No.
You know, and I've said for years, the Cardinals need one of the biggest junk ballers in the bullpen that they can find. Somebody that can come in there and corkscrew a batter into the dirt at the plate by throwing a pitch that's, you know, 65 miles an hour and drops off the side of the plate, you know? And just for a change of pace. Everybody throws 100 miles an hour. It's, you know, people are used to it by now. And, I just think the art of pitching a lot of times, especially for bullpens, is really lost because you should have a variety.
A lot of the Cardinals' bullpen's problems to me this year date back to a couple of years ago when Matheny wore out Segrist, wore out Rosenthal, ruined Maness, ruined O last year. We're seeing the effects of it now.
Yeah, Mujica.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another one.
We don't have enough time to list all the relievers that McDaniel's done that to. Not a long enough show.
Guys, we're out of time here as we approach the 10 o'clock hour, as we want to thank our friends here at the Litchfield Party in the Park and the Litchfield Chamber of Commerce. They've got a great thing going here. We hope that you'll come by and enjoy the Litchfield Party in the Park and all the fantastic activities going on today. And don't forget, we'll be back with more Sports Saturday next week. We'll have Cardinals baseball for you coming up this afternoon on AM 1540, FM 106, or FM 106.9. And don't forget, tomorrow night's game, as it is now a night game, 6:10 pregame show on AM 1540, FM 106.9. So that's going to do it for Sports Saturday from the Litchfield Party in the Park. For Tim Mize, for David Jenkins, I'm Terry Toad. Have a great sporting weekend. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. And don't forget, we are now less than 5 weeks away from Football Friday.